recap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad to be with us, SB Nation Radio. It is SB Nation AM, Tony D and Ron Culver. There is a report from CBS's Pete Prisco that the Arizona Cardinals are not going to take Kyler Murray with the number one pick. Now, this is a report that pops up every now and then when you get closer to the draft, that a consensus number one pick, when there's still a little bit of controversy around it, it's not the clear-cut number one, you know, can't miss, got to grab him, absolutely pick. This is a smokescreen, that this could be a smokescreen. But here's what Pete wrote at CBS. Initially, the ownership pushed for Kyler Murray. That much I know. I was told that. The reason they did is that they're having a hard time selling tickets. Well, they put it out there. Arizona was lukewarm to it. Now, all of a sudden, they're pulling back. And from what I've been told, they are going in a different direction. They are not going to draft Kyler Murray. Now, Arizona could be doing this for a number of reasons. One, it is a smokescreen. Two, you use this kind of information to gauge the interest of other people willing to come up and try to talk you into the pick or try to take your pick. If you are saying, I'm not going to draft Kyler Murray, you're trying to gauge people's interest. If you're Oakland and you feel like you could go get Kyler Murray, maybe you're trying to convince them to trade the pick since they're not so hung up on it now. There's an opportunity. There's a window. Well, how about this? We're going to take Kyler Murray. You could take our four pick. Is there somebody you like? That can initiate some of that conversation. But at the same time, I don't see why the Cardinals would have to play around with this. There's nobody else that they're fighting against. There's nobody that can pick ahead of them to get the player that they really want. But one thing is for sure. If they like a player on the board right now, find a place in the draft to get him other than number one. Somebody wants Kyler Murray. Find out who that is. If it's not you, find out who and start talking. Because anybody else, and that includes Nick Bosa, you can find somebody else to trade up and you take their pick if that's what you want, if that's where you need. But you've got some leverage if that is true from Pete Prisco.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so what exactly is the best route for the Arizona Cardinals with that number one pick? Is it really to take Kyler Murray and go with their second quarterback in the first round in back-to-back years? Or is it to see through another season and another coach, whether or not you have something already in Josh Rosen, and then draft in for something else with a high draft pick, whether it's number one overall or you trade down for a real particular need? Or is quarterback such a need because we've already made the decision that Josh Rosen can't play for Cliff Kingsbury or Arizona, or for that matter, anybody else?
I think, honestly, the best route for them, because we know how Kingsbury feels about Kyler Murray, is, you know, draft, go ahead and go for that, draft Kyler Murray. But on draft day, maybe that first round, maybe in the maybe day one or day two, trade Josh Rosen for picks.
Make sure you, yeah, I think so too. You got to get rid of Rosen. You're not going to, you know, the idea.
Yeah, if you acquire Kyler Murray, then you got to get rid of Rosen. You can turn that into a win. I mean, it's a win-win situation for whatever team, because another team, They're not getting a quarterback who is tainted yet. You're still getting pretty much a rookie quarterback. I mean, he's played some, but he hasn't developed any bad tendencies that you can't undo.
Why? There's people who are saying, look, this news that
this news, whether you believe it or not, that Arizona is not going to take Kyler Murray could be a smokescreen. How could it be? Why would you need a smokescreen with the number one pick? You're not vying against anybody. You can tell people you don't want to draft Kyler Murray to see who will take the number one pick from your off your hands if that's who they want, and then you can figure out what you want to do from there. Maybe the person that wants Kyler Murray so bad doesn't offer enough a position in the first round to give you value. Maybe they do. Maybe they give you value in other areas. You gotta trade the number one overall pick, you better be getting a lot of picks in return. And it better be also including a pick at least in the top 10. I gotta think. But that's what I don't understand. If you have the number one pick, either A, take the guy you want regardless, or B, start telling people, you want this guy? You want our number one pick? We're not going to take we're not interested in who you think we're interested in. So if you want him, come get him, Oakland. If you want Kyler Murray, Oakland, get on the phone and call. And maybe that's why Gruden and Mike Mayock have sent people out of the room. Maybe there really is a deal going down. But they are petrified that Arizona is talking to somebody else that offers a better deal. Oh, this could be really interesting Thursday night, Mr. Culver. This could be great. Or it could be nothing. Kyler Murray could go to Arizona, become the quarterback, and they trade Josh Rosen. I'm not sure what is going to happen. But look, remember when Kyler Murray was choosing between football and baseball? And remember initially people were saying, you got to go baseball. Baseball has the long-term guaranteed contracts. If you become a star in baseball, you're the 9th overall pick, I think. Was it 9 or 7? One of those. Anyway, he was in the top 10 of the Oakland A's. And you're getting all of this money up front, and they think you're a star, and they think you can play, and they think you could be a all-star player. You're going to be signing these lucrative contracts for, in your 30s, and, they're just going to make this, ton of money. Well, if he's the number one pick, now we're talking a career that could lead to 20, 30, 40 million a year down the road for him. We're looking at the escalation of quarterback salaries to an insane level. When Kyler Murray is ready to sign that first big contract, what's the annual salary going to be for a quarterback in this league? What's it going to be up to? It's already at $35 million a year. 40, 50? Is it 45 when he's ready to sign? All right, now baseball salaries are escalating too, but you have to put some time in and real effort in and you have to really prove that you can, you still have to go to the minors, you have to go up, here you're the number one pick. A franchise is going to make you their quarterback, give you the job right away. The Arizona Cardinals are going to give it to you right away. It's yours. You don't have to steal it from anybody. You don't have to take it from anybody. It is yours. You don't have to kick somebody out of the lineup. You don't have to kick somebody out of their position. This job is now yours from day one. If you do well at it and show people you can play at the NFL level, there is a contract waiting for you in a couple of years. Granted, if you stay healthy, that could be in the neighborhood of $40, $45 million a year. Now we're talking. So initially when Kyler Murray was going to choose baseball, it seemed to make sense if you're looking at it on a monetary situation. Now that we know where salaries are heading, and also the fact that he could be the number one overall pick, it becomes a different story. One of the negatives has been listed on a few scouting reports that I've read on Murray is he has a couple of things. There's some things that he does need to work on at the next level. The more really fine-tuning details of his reads, et cetera, et cetera. But one of the things that's brought up is commitment to football. Is he still committed to football? Could still choose baseball? Has something to fall back on? You're not trapping him into a world he doesn't want to leave. Right. If he doesn't like the way the NFL business is, if he doesn't like the way he's being treated, if he doesn't like his, he can always fall back to even just as lucrative profession of Major League Baseball. This isn't a guy that's going to go from the NFL to a 9-to-5 desk job for $75,000 a year. Right. He is going. He could go from football to baseball. Now, if he's the number one overall pick, you got to think his camp is not going to be so stupid as to give that away unless he fails in the league. And then in that case, nobody would want him anyway. But as the number one pick, he is in line for a very, very large amount when he's up to his first contract. Now all of a sudden the NFL makes sense. I mean, look at it. There's a horizon of NFL star of quarterback salaries that is so bright, it's crazy in terms of where the money is going. I was talking to somebody the other day. Could you see $50 million a year? Of course. I could see $50 million a year for a quarterback. Of course. As revenue goes up, as the cap goes up, of course. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to see. We're almost at 40 now to see it at 50 someday. You know, and I'm interested in the thought process. I was saying this last week about Josh Rosen. One of the problems that I see with what Arizona is doing is you better make sure that Kyler Murray brings in a skill set that is absolutely better than what Josh Rosen could be in the league. You're not talking about a first-round bust yet. You're talking about a rookie that made a ton of mistakes that you don't know if he's learned from those mistakes with another full season of workouts and camp. We're not 100% sure of that. Now, sometimes you have the eyeball test, right? You can just watch a guy in the league. You can watch a guy have the deer in headlights. You can see the mistakes and go, man, that's a project. He doesn't have it. This isn't just working on the reads and the timing. This is a guy who really can't play on this extra level of football. Okay, if that's how Arizona sees Josh Rosen, then draft Kyler Murray. But if you've got a kid that can get better, remember Peyton Manning struggled in his rookie year. Remember Peyton Manning was criticized because he used to change the plays all the time. Right? And I'm not comparing Rosen to Manning, but I'm saying there's a little bit of patience that's not being afforded Josh Rosen's career. Time and time again, we've seen quarterbacks play in their rookie season terribly, but then figure it out. There's something about year two that comes together, right? There's the sophomore slump, but there's also the step up. We don't know this with Josh Rosen, but you better make sure that every scout you've got is telling you the Murray kid got everything you want for whatever offense you're doing, and Josh Rosen will struggle and we will not be able to take that next step. Because this is a big, bold move. You're giving up another, whether you trade Rosen or not draft Murray or draft Murray and Murray doesn't work out, you're taking two first-round picks, high first-round picks on quarterbacks, and you can't keep both of them. And in order to rebuild successfully, you got to take a guy 1 year, take another guy another year, and add to your team, not subtract from your team. And one of these guys is going to make it. Now, if Arizona decided to go with Rosen and say, we're going to keep him, if this sport report is true from Pete Prisco that they're not taking Murray and they go with Rosen, they've got to add, right? All right, so we got our quarterback. Now we add. We've got a new head coach. This is where we're going down the road. All right? So this, to me, is an interesting storyline that's coming up. It could be everything and it could be nothing. If you follow the draft and you follow it closely, this is the kind of stuff that pops up all the time. Ron mentioned it earlier. We had no idea who the number one pick was going to be, but many of us did not see Baker Mayfield coming. Right? This is the kind of stuff that gets tossed around. This is why the Raiders want to be secretive. There is a lot at stake here for these teams. You don't want to get scooped. You don't want a team moving up to beat you to it. I'm telling you right now, if there are teams behind Oakland that know who Oakland wants at four, they are more than willing to pick up the phone and talk to the Jets or the San Francisco 49ers to see if they can get that guy and what it would take to get that guy. That's why you keep yourself, you know, tight. Maybe not as tight as Oakland is, but that's why these kind of things are important. But I'm not seeing the angle from Arizona. If you want Murray, you can get him. If you don't want him, you can get somebody else. You don't have to play the game of being quiet because no one can pick ahead of you. No one can move ahead of you. You could tell everybody you want Murray, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. You want Nick Bosa? Then take it. You want Nick Bosa and want to trade down for him? Tell everybody. There's nothing wrong with that. Again, if you're any other team, you got to be quiet. But I don't see the angle here. I might be missing something, but I don't see the angle of that play. SB Nation Radio, it's SB Nation AM. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, Emory Hunt is going to join us in 15 minutes. We're going to talk to him from footballgameplan.com on the draft. We'll get his thoughts on the kind of players that you'll be hearing in the top 10. And whether or not there's any rumors of some moves
I'm still high on your draft, your mock draft. I think it was poignant.
Very much so. I thought put a lot of work into this.
I mean, you did. It was
you put a lot of work.
I mean, I'm blown away at the amount of effort that went into that.
It took a lot of research to say that with the number three pick the Jets will take, quote, somebody the city will hate.
A lot of watching tape.
Yep. A lot of watching tape.
You're watching film guy over the weekend. I can see it.
Yep. And the Giants, not a quarterback. That's my mock draft.
I mean,
I could be wrong on that. The Giants could take a quarterback, but I'm going with not a quarterback.
If they don't, what is going to happen with the Giants? I mean, they need to find a replacement for Eli, right?
They do.
See, I've been saying the same thing over and over, and you've been saying the same thing because, you know, the Giants are in the same situation as our two teams. They all have quarterbacks that came in at the league at the same time. But the big glaring difference is I can still see my Chargers having at least a year or two with Phillip, and you could probably say the same thing with Roethlisberger.
Exactly. Oh, speaking of which, I'm glad you reminded me. I rewatched the 2004 draft with Eli Manning with the Chargers.
Yeah.
It's still hysterical, the face, the Chargers select Eli Manning, and he's like, ugh.
Yep.
Still, like, rewatching it again, because you think you kind of remember it, and then you rewatch it, like, this guy was blatantly disrespecting the Chargers.
Blatantly.
Blatantly. Purposely doing this. And it's like, you remember it, and then you're like, yeah, all right. Then a couple years later, you're like, man, I got to see that again. And I remember watching going, God, he really did. He really did stick it to the Chargers who drafted him.
Yeah. I mean, he
really did.
Laid it out there and said, I'm not going to play for him.
Yep. Just, oh, well, guess not. Right. But I agree with you. The Steelers are not ready right now for a new quarterback. Not yet. Chargers, same thing. Not yet. Giants need one. This isn't going well. But I just, if you're Dave Gettleman, you have a responsibility to the Giants, not a responsibility to Eli, right? Eli has to be second to what the Giants need. That's why you were brought in. When Dave Gettleman came in, remember, Gettleman came in from the Panthers. So he came in, his job was to fix this, right? And trading Odell Beckham was part of this process. But also, too, like, okay, here you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, well, likely Hall of Fame quarterback. I know there's a debate. But a two-time Super Bowl champion and a beloved Giant for leading the team to two Super Bowls. But he's done. How done? Well, is he done enough to be playing down the road in front of a quarterback that's going to be the face of the franchise moving forward? Or is he just going to be playing out a string in front of some backups that still are a question mark, but not really going to be the guy down the road? If you're Gettleman, you have to answer that, because if you have a quarterback opportunity with the sixth pick and it's Dwayne Haskins and you like Haskins, bring him aboard despite the baggage that comes with it, meaning being in New York week in and week out, having Dwayne Haskins sit on the sidelines while Eli Manning is throwing yet another pick to another Dallas Cowboys corner, and listening to that fan base go, thanks, Eli, but get out of here. Thanks, Eli, but I need to know what this kid has. And all of that chatter on radio and all of those columns in the newspaper and all of that conversation on TV and social media. Does Gettleman, because you know Eli will probably zone it out, but Gettleman's going to have to read that. He's going to have to feel that from the fans. And is that too much of a mess to avoid and get your quarterback later? But you don't know who you're going to get later. You know, tomorrow's not promised to anybody. And certainly draft picks aren't promised to anybody in terms of who you can get. If Haskins is on the board and you like him, maybe the only kind of Haskins you can get. Right? That's it. It's a tough decision. I'm going with not a quarterback because I think they might find their guy at 17 a little bit later that's not so high profile.
And let's be honest, not a quarterback. I mean, he's a good player.
Good player.
You know, he won't disappoint you as much as, you know, a quarterback would.
That's right. And the Bills pick doesn't matter. That's a pretty good.
No, that's solid.
Very solid.
I mean, that was that took some. That took some real. You were studying a lot of film.
I did. Here's what I did to come up with the pick for the Bills doesn't matter. It was really, really a hard process because I went through the last 20 years. And I said, okay, let's look at the playoff record of the Buffalo Bills in the last 20 years, right? Let's see the draft history to see what kind of player has led to draft success.
Yes.
To playoff success.
For the Bills.
Right, for the Bills.
Right.
What player has impacted the franchise in the postseason? Mm. And it was hard. It was like, no one. You know, got to a year ago, not really anybody.
Bengals.
And you know. The Bengals, they helped, right? They were a big participant. But so then I went, okay, who in the draft could help them in their current postseason for success? And it went, doesn't matter. So doesn't matter was penciled in at number 9.
Yep. So, I mean, you know, he runs a mean 440.
Does run a mean 440 is right. Exactly. Man. That's got to stink with the Bills, though. Can you imagine? Like, man, nothing has worked. Nobody. Like, we drafted. Nobody has helped us get to the postseason in 20 years. Not really. No.
No, the other thing they were able to do.
Even once in 20 years.
The other thing the Bills have really been able to do in the last, say, like 5 years is really confuse us with one guy's name. And it's Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, we went through a lot of grief with that, right? We all thought it was Tyrod. We thought it was,
you know, but how long
we got to Cleveland. It took him until he got to Cleveland for him to go, by the way, you've all been pronouncing my name wrong. Oh, really?
Yeah, that's on you, Bills.
That's on you, Buffalo. Correcting
that.
Go
with your Bills Mafia.
God, Bills Mafia. Oh, goodness.
Let's think about it. Maybe I'm wrong, but are they really the only fan base that's named?
Kit Patriots Nation isn't a thing.
No, because everyone has a nation.
Broncos Country?
No.
I remember that, but that's not really a thing.
You know, the Black Hole.
It is a thing, but it's not you wouldn't call that to the fan base.
Yeah, the Black Hole, you wouldn't call the Raiders fans the Black Hole. That's just
Dog Pound?
That's just maybe, there you go. Dog Pound works.
Yeah, Dog Pound. Bill's Mafia.
So maybe it's just great. Maybe it's just you got to be on Lake Erie to get a name.
Yeah, and do a little better. Do a little better, Buffalo.
Yeah, Bills Mafia is more viral than the Bills.
That's true.
If you think about it.
That's true. Good point. Bills Mafia. It's a good name.
Tyrod.
Tyrod. Finally. Oh. You know what? I still call him Tyrod.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'm not going to change.
Because next year he's going to come out. I don't know if he's still with the Browns or what other team. He's like, yeah, guys, you guys are pronouncing my last name wrong, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, it's Tyrod Taylor. Yeah. Why don't you say something sooner?
That's funny.
You know.
Oh.
I mean, it is one of those things. I mean, you've been calling someone the wrong name. You do feel bad about, you know, correcting them.
Don't you hate it when people have a name that's spelt a certain way, but they pronounce it differently than everybody else on the planet?
Yeah. I also hate it when people, you know, have a name pronounced one way, but they spell it differently.
Yeah. Like they add an extra N to something that doesn't need to be added to when one N will suffice.
You know, something along those lines. I'm not sure where you're hinting at. Yeah. I thought Tony had one N.
Well, my last name has like four vowels in it. Which basically is $1,000 value on Wheel of Fortune. It would cost you $1,000 on Wheel of Fortune to get my last name in a puzzle.
And you would still pronounce it wrong.
And you'd still pronounce it wrong. Everybody does. It's great. All right. Emory Hunt will join us next from ProFootballGamePlan.com to talk draft. We'll be right back.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help within 24 hours, and insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-471-2270. That's 800-471-2270. Of course, we've been talking about the NFL draft coming up on Thursday and leading into the weekend. On our Progressive Insurance Hotline, Emory Hunt, footballgameplan.com, to talk about that and more, what we can expect this week at the big draft in Nashville. How are you, Emory?
I'm doing fine. I appreciate you guys having me on.
So, Emory, let me ask you this. I've been asking a lot of guys this similar kind of question. I want to get your thoughts. When you look at the talent that's out there and the names that are going to be called on Thursday night, in whatever order it is, it doesn't matter. But overall, is this a draft filled with game changers, about the same as we've seen in other years, maybe less than other years? In terms of the real raw talent, how would you grade the talent class of what we could see on Thursday night?
I think it's an impressive class, especially when you look at how well these guys are on the defensive side of the ball. That's defensive line, cornerback, even a good, healthy bit of combo safety, guys that can play free or strong safety. I think this is a really good defensive group, more so than the offensive side. Now, if you're looking at the offensive side, if you're looking at the offensive line, I think a lot of people aren't talking about how good the offensive line is this year at both the tackle and guard position, and you could throw in centers. I think you could probably see maybe two to three centers go within the first two rounds of this draft.
How do you grade the quarterbacks? And more importantly, Daniel Jones, who seems to be over the last couple of days rising up.
To me, Daniel Jones is a project. I wouldn't take Daniel Jones until round three.
Wow.
If you're trying to get him in round three, okay, that's a good spot to take him. I had the same grade on Daniel Jones that I had on Ryan Tannehill. You know, he's a guy that can be a solid player, but you're going to always be looking for something more, and he won't be able to give you that. Now, he has good athleticism. He can hit throws in rhythm at times, but he's far too inconsistent to really push a team over the hump and get them into the playoffs on a consistent basis. To me, Dwayne Haskins is far beyond the best quarterback in this draft class, and would have been the best quarterback in last year's draft class, in my opinion, because of what he can do from touch, timing, accuracy, anticipation, placement standpoint. He checks all of those boxes that you want from a premier player at the position.
So what's the status of, what do you feel, of the Kyler Murray Arizona situation? There's a report that they won't take him, but of course we hear that all the time every draft when it comes this time of year. Do you buy that Arizona is sold on Kyler Murray? Do you think they'll trade it or go in another direction?
I can see all possibilities on the table, because when you look at last year, trading up in the first round to take a quarterback in the top 10, and you're back now taking a quarterback number one overall, to me, that would signal the end of the Steve Keim era if he were to make that pick. So I can see them not taking a quarterback, but I can also see them saying, you know what, this is a guy that's better than the guy we took last year. Here's a unique opportunity to upgrade the position on a cheap contract. Why not rectify the mistake and go ahead in a different direction? So I can see both sides of the argument. I would probably utilize the pick to get better elsewhere. Because, again, you want to see if this guy, Josh Rosen, can be a lot like Jared Goff as far as, you know, getting better in year two. I think Josh Rosen is in the same situation that DeShone Kizer found himself in Cleveland. You want to see those guys get an opportunity to rectify the wrongs that they had as a rookie, and you do that by stockpiling better talent around them, and that's how you get the Jared Goff effect. Or if you decide, you know what, this guy's just better, we're just going to take the better guy and probably live with Josh Rosen as our number two and find a way to trade him by the trade deadline, I think that's a viable option as well.
So is Kyler Murray the number one pick by some because of Cliff Kingsbury, or because he is a better option, a quarterback, than the guy you mentioned, Dwayne Haskins, who checks all the boxes?
I think it's because of Cliff Kingsbury, because that's the only team that everyone has associated Kyler Murray with. There was no other possibilities of him. Okay, what if he falls, or what if he does this, or what if a so-and-so team trades up? It's always been about Murray and Cardinals because of Cliff Kingsbury, and no one has really broached the idea of someone else wanting Kyler Murray. So I think that's the only reason why you're seeing him go number one. Because it's funny, because you look at last year, a guy in the same draft class, that can run around, make plays off script, and throw the football downfield accurately. And that was Lamar Jackson, and no one talked about him going number one overall. And that's where they had some failure in allowing him to drop. But that was the reason why the Ravens ended up winning the division and getting into the playoffs, because of a guy that they took that had the same skill set as the Kyler Murray.
Do you think the Giants, with two picks in the first round, either it's 6 or 17, doesn't matter, do you think they take a quarterback in the first round? They need one, but do they take one with either one of those two picks?
I think they take one. I think they go Dwayne Haskins at 6. I think they've done a great job of sending out all sorts of signals throughout the course of this draft process, keeping everyone off kilter as far as what they're going to do. I don't think Dwayne Haskins is a guy that's going to fall out of the top 10. I think the Giants do find a way to get him at 6. If they don't take him at 6, I also see a situation where they will use probably pick number 17 and pick 37, their second-round pick, to get back into the top 10 and secure a second top 10 pick and take Dwayne Haskins if they go defensive player at pick 6.
Emory Hunt joins us again, talking NFL draft on a Progressive Insurance Hotline. Denver Broncos at 10. Interesting situation for Elway here. He'd love to get a quarterback of the future, but he also has a defense that he needs an inside linebacker. There might be two available for him. I don't know if Devin White falls that far, but Devin Bush might. Does he stick with a guy who can help him now, or does he go with somebody who could go to help him in the future?
I think he sticks with a guy that can help him now, because if you're John Elway, you're looking at your track record. You traded away Tim Tebow, who actually won a playoff game. You could have had him as the backup to Peyton Manning. You traded him away. You drafted Paxton Lynch. You drafted Trevor Siemian. You traded for Case Keenum. I think John Elway is kind of good on quarterbacks. He's like, you know what? I'm fine. I'm not going to take another quarterback. I'm going to try to ride this thing with Flacco, because I also believe that he sees a lot of himself and Joe Flacco at this stage of his career, a guy that can be helped with the running game, that can't be helped with great defense, that can't be helped with some really good options that they have at receiver. So I think they're going to either go inside linebacker or maybe even tight end with that 10th pick.
Where do you like with the Jets at 3? There's going to be some options there, especially if Murray's not taken or somebody moves up. So that could change this answer. But the Jets with Adam Gase, first draft for him with the Jets. They normally have a history of picking guys that kind of Jet fans don't like. Where do you see at 3? What could be available and where should the Jets go?
I think they go defense. I think they're going to have their pick of either Quinnen Williams, Ed Oliver, one of those guys that can help them right away. Now, if they find a team that can trade up and maybe secure another first round or a couple of second round picks, because they gave up a boatload of their second round picks last year to move up to take Sam Darnold. So I think they go defense. I think they go defensive line or linebacker with that pick. And again, it wouldn't surprise me to see them go Quinnen Williams or Ed Oliver, both of which I think would be outstanding selections that also give you some flexibility of where you can play those guys within your front.
Emory Hunt again, footballgameplan.com on a Progressive Insurance Hotline. Emory, what did you think about the Raiders? They told all the scouts to go home. Is that a normal move when you really need to keep things under the vest? Or what does it say about your scouting department that you feel like there's too many leaks?
I think it's a normal move, especially if you're planning to replace those guys, which is also a normal move after the draft. They set the board, they've done their work, and now they can spend some more time with their family, go home. And again, if you want to really hammer in on which guys are the right guys for the Raiders, no one is better to do that than the coach, the head coach, and the GM. Because once you invite too many opinions in a room, no decision gets made. And so you want to make sure, okay, the board is set. These are the grades that we have on these prospects. Who do you want, John Gruden? And you're talking directly to the guy that can make that decision, and that's the GM. So I understand why they did it. I know a lot has been made about it because it's the Raiders, but this is a normal move, especially considering that they're going to probably move on from a lot of those scouts after the draft anyway.
I've heard a lot of good things about T.J. Hockenson, the tight end out of Iowa. Noah Fant, who's also, I've heard some good things about him. But where do these guys go as tight ends? Is 10 too high? Is 8 too high? Where is the projected value of a tight end in the first round for either one of these gentlemen?
Well, that's a great question, because I always turn around and ask the question to someone like, you know what, would you take, as prospects, would you take any one of these guys over O.J. Howard or over Vernon Davis or Jeremy Shockey, Kellen Winslow Jr.? You're probably going to say no. So if that's the case, you don't take those guys high. And the only two guys that went high in the top 10 were Davis and Winslow. Even Howard went late in the 20s. Shockey went in, I think, pick 15 or something like that. So, and you never really find yourself saying, man, this team is a tight end away from being a Super Bowl team. No. So I wouldn't take those guys in the top 10. You have to be legit difference makers. And even if that's the case, you still look at the tight end as an extension of your offensive line, and you could probably wait to get that position because you don't necessarily have a guy that you go to constantly at that position to warrant a first-round or top-10 pick. So, again, even O.J. Howard, who warranted a top-10 pick, went in the 20s. So I wouldn't take those guys as high. That's why I find it a little bit interesting that these two guys are getting talked about as top-10 picks. However, I also find it interesting that Fant is not being considered higher than Hockenson. I think Fant is what you want in the NFL more so than Hockenson.
That's interesting. That's a very good analysis. Again, Emory Hunt joining us. All right, it's all speculation here, but are you hearing any rumblings at all or any gut feelings of which team right now is plotting to move up? Who's likely to move up? Who's likely to package something together to get either a 1 or a 3 or a 5, whatever that landing spot may be?
I think the Giants are a possibility to move up. Also, because they have 12 selections in the draft, that's a lot of picks.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily want to make a lot of picks, especially if you don't have that many spots on your roster. So anybody with over 8 picks are likely to move up in the draft. I also wouldn't put it past the Dolphins, too, because think about this. Brian Flores just watched his friend and fellow coach, Steve Wilks, get fired in 1 year out there in Arizona with a rookie quarterback that they drafted in the first round. And you mean to tell me that you're going to trust the front office to let you go into a season with Ryan Fitzpatrick as your starter and perhaps finish the season with what will be likely a 5-11 record or a 4-12 record and you keep your job? No, you're not going to sit there and try to set the table for the next coach to come in and reap the benefits. You're going to try to win now, and you can't win now with a guy that has proven to not be able to win in Ryan Fitzpatrick. So it wouldn't surprise me to see the Dolphins move up to get a Dwayne Haskins at pick number 3 as opposed to trying to wait and see whoever's going to be there. Or maybe they do sit there and take a guy in Drew Locke. To me, the Dolphins are in play for a quarterback, and they're going to have to move up to get one.
This has been great stuff. Football Game Plan is the website. Emory Hunt is our guest. Appreciate it, my friend. Great stuff. Hope to have you on again soon. That was excellent.
Anytime. I appreciate it.
You got a Progressive Insurance Hotline brought to you by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. That is fascinating stuff. I love some of what he was saying. I have not heard the Noah Fant over TJ Hockenson debate as far as the tight ends, but I had heard Hockenson grades ahead of Fant, but listen, either way, it's apples and oranges. The one thing that he made very clear, which was I agree with, because I'm one of those, maybe it's old school in terms of draft analysis. I don't know. You know, maybe this is a newer thing. The idea of a tight end, whether either one of these guys going 7, going 8, it's just too high for me. I don't care what skill set they bring. I don't care what talent they bring. I don't care how much a tight end matters to an offense. And we've heard that a lot in certain offensive schemes. You better have this kind of tight end. 8, 9, 6, 10, 11, that's too high for a tight end. Again, this is not a knock on them. It's not. It's a knock on the position. Right. Listen, let's say you have a kicker, right? Let's say you have a kicker in college and he can hit everything from 65 in. 65 yard field goals are nothing for this guy. Blasts him through the uprights. He makes everything, just nails him down the middle. No pressure. Every grade you could possibly grade out for your kicker is enormous, right? Just automatic points on the board no matter when you send him out. You still wouldn't take him in the top 10. You still wouldn't take him in the top 15. You still wouldn't take him in the top 20. Now, tight end is got a bigger skill set than the kicker, but still, when I see the Broncos taking him, or I see the Detroit Lions taking him, or anybody else along those lines, that's way too high for me. Way too high to take a tight end. That was good stuff by Emory Hunt. All right, it is Tony D, Ron Culver. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Ron, you said you had a problem with my kicker analogy, or at least an argument against
it. No, I am 100% agreeing with you on the kicker.
On the kicker.
On the kicker going in the first round, you know, that just seems weird and bizarre.
Absolutely.
But Sebastian Janikowski went in the first round, and he was nothing but stable throughout his entire time with the Raiders.
Now, good point. Good point.
Now, it's not flashy or anything. I mean, I'm sure there were other picks after him, like, oh, man, they could have went there.
That's a good point.
But it was just the fact that he went in the first round. Everyone laughed at it, but, you know, the Raiders didn't have to worry about a kicker for how long?
Nah, that's true. I am okay if people tell me, hey, look, man, in the new NFL, this, you know, a tight end going 9 is just where we're at in the evolution of the game. You know, go back to your 3 channels on your television, old man. I'm okay with that. But the reality of it is I just don't, no matter how good those two guys are, just weird. If it would weird for me to see them go in the top 10.
No,
but
I agree.
Maybe so. I know there's probably tight ends who have gone high, and I still think,
and it might just be because we're in a tight end era.
But he listed a lot of tight ends, a lot of really good tight ends that I would want on my team, right? I would want on my team, and I think we all have had tight ends that we cherish and love. But man, it'd just be weird to see him go like 8. I don't know. That's a lot. SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Good point on Janikowski.